Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello once again, everybody. Welcome in to the Eric St. Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports for something fun that you can smash up on the dune. Side-by-sides, motorcycles, e-bikes. Maybe you want to get one of those zero-turn radius lawnmowers or something like that. They've got it all. I appreciate them. And thank you so much to them for being a key part of the Eric Zane Show podcast. You can find them more information online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. Kenny is down 16 pounds in the past 9 days. Keep it up. Keep doing that same thing. I suggest when it comes to intermittent fasting, you fast for 23 hours a day. No, seriously, I have a buddy. It's Chris D. Chris D, of course, who's in the chat with us most days. One of his pals involved with the Michigan Rangers soccer organization. He was like fat as shit, and he did it intermittent fasting, and he lost an ungodly amount of weight in short order. And I was like, what? He lost that much? I forgot the amount that he lost, but if I see him in here chit-chatting away, I will ask him that. I feel great when I don't eat. I really do. And so lately I've been hitting like 18 hours without eating. And so I don't know, something about it. Even 14 and up, 14 hours is, actually take it back, 16 hours is I think what they like you to do. But I usually go well beyond that and I feel fine. Then during the period of the day that I actually consume food, I just try not to be too much of an asshole is what I'm doing here. I do have days, though, at least in the last 3 weeks, where I'll have like I just kind of like let my guard down and kind of like reset the opposite way, you know, kind of like if I don't do that, if I don't just go and eat like a dick for like half a day. It's more difficult to maintain. So if I could have like 5-6 excellent days and then 1 or 2 bad ones, it seems to be easier to do those 5-6 days if I have those bad days. And I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to that. It's just what I like to do. Okay. Going into this past weekend up north, even that first day, I was good that first day. That would be Thursday. And then Friday was fair, but not horrible. I mean, not too good, not too bad. I did get the fasting in. That's the thing. Each one of those days, I did get the intermittent fasting in. And then when it actually came time to eat some food, I was like, all right, let's cook a wiener over the fire, load it up with chili or something stupid like that. This is probably going to be added to the number of times that I've had the same discussion for the past 5.5 years of podcasting. But I feel pretty good. I've got to go to a wedding coming up on Saturday. Logan Belgraf is getting married. Some of you might even remember that name. Logan was the kid who I would race in when we would go to Disney for the half marathon for the AT Children's Project. So, you know, you got a 17-year-old kid, 40-something-year-old guy racing each other in a half marathon. Logan had a pretty strong cross-country career, too. He was a pretty skilled runner. And so we were talking about that on the air back in the day, about racing each other for the Race for the Ages. There was only one time that I beat Logan. It was this time. It's the only one I care to mention. The other times, he kicked my ass. But we were on the course for probably 7 miles in. And he didn't know I was right behind him. And I didn't even know he was struggling. And I did not think I had a chance to beat him deep down. And then suddenly he just stopped. I'm like, I saw that. I knew he had hit the wall. I knew he was in trouble. So takes me a few strides to get to where he is. And as I passed him, I said, way to go, fuckhead. See you at the finish line. Just stepped right on his throat. Oh, my God. It was brutal. Yeah, way to go, you fucking dick. See you later. Well, anyway, Logan's getting married. Somehow he managed to find somebody to marry him, which is a goddamn miracle. Logan is also a hockey ref in the one of the hockey leagues. I don't know. Good kid. Saturday is the big wedding. Rebecca drops a name from my past. Do you know Kim Maurice? Of course. Yeah, she's that's crazy that you know her. Yeah, she's super sweet. Love her to death. Known her for years. She is remarried now. Okay. Off and running, I've gotten lots of comments since the show started about this ultra-white, crisp, as it was described, Detroit Lions hoodie. And it might be the whitest white you could ever white. And it's fantastic. It just pops. And then you kind of, it just works with my whitish hair. Little bit of, remember like that scene in Lord of the Rings when Gandalf went from being Gandalf the gray to Gandalf the white? That's the vibe I'm feeling from myself. I think I'm very attractive today because of this white hoodie and the perfect hair, courtesy of King's Room Barbershop. Ladies and gentlemen, we are only 18 minutes away from Dear Meathead. And I have zero questions for Dad. I'm planning on running the RV thing by Dad about my recent adventures with the RV. But it's always great to have a question or two from this amazing audience that makes the world go round for your old pal EZ. If you want to send it along on the email, you can even leave it in the chat. It's in my field of vision, so I can just check that out. If you want to leave a question in the chat for Dad, by all means, or email it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com, for another edition of Dear Meathead. He is so sweet. the comment about this amazingly white hoodie getting stained with something. Yeah, I think about that all the time. I try to be very careful when I'm drinking coffee, which I don't know if that would be a permanent stain, but I think it would. The subject, the top story of this podcast, is EZ's scavenger hunt. This comes up because of an interaction I had with a person from my past back in high school. Extremely cool, fun guy by the name of Jeffrey Lighthouser, my Lebanese brother. Jeffrey and I have known each other since, I would say, maybe 5 or 6 years old. I've got pictures of Jeffrey at his house when I was 6 or 7. I almost drowned in his backyard one time. We didn't necessarily run with each other that much in high school, but we always got along. This might have been one of the he's one of those happy-go-lucky people who didn't seem to have an angry bone in his body. And was always incredibly fun. And that's the impression I got when I was growing up at his house. It was always a very fun household. His father, Bob, and his mother, I believe Gwen, are some of the nicest people on the planet. Dad was a lawyer. That would factor in the night I got arrested. And then I sleep on this hard slab in this jail cell. I had my own jail cell. In the morning, the fucking cop opens the door. He goes, "Easy, your lawyer's here." I'm like, "My lawyer?" He leads me out, takes the cuffs off. He goes, "He's right there." The elevator opens up. It's Mr. Lighthouser. He goes, "Let's go." I'm like, "Oh, fuck." This all stems from the scavenger hunt. Why in the world would I bring this up again? I've probably told this story. Well, I don't know how many times I've told this story. It's probably just about as many times I've told the other stories on this show over the years. But that is what you see in front of you right now, and I'll link it up in the show notes, is my mugshot upon being arrested. This is one of the very first things I put up on Facebook. Like, I opened up my Facebook account however many years ago that was. The first thing I did was throw up my mugshot. Looks like March 20th. March 20th, 1988, inmate number 5158, Easy Rhyme. Nothing but brown hair on that head. Now, I haven't thought about this event in quite some time. But Jeffrey was, I believe, one of the creators of the game. I'm pretty sure. Either that or I know he was definitely involved in it. The plan was on a Friday night or a Saturday night, you have a sheet of things that you have to get for the scavenger hunt. And page one, all simple things, you know, condom from a gas station bathroom. So that was all part of it. Well, Jeffrey got his hands on the list. Someone sent him the scavenger hunt list. And he sent it my way. And there's two pages. Like I said, the first page is all things that aren't a big deal. But this is the second page. And you probably can't make it out. But see this? It looks like a paragraph here. That's where it says, "The only Cousin O Drive street sign." Cousin O was the name of the school. "We're not telling you where it is. If you find it, steal it. Very big points. You'll probably win the game." Well, that was the first thing we did. We knew exactly where that street sign was. You didn't have the advantage of the internet then or cell phones. You just kind of had to know where to go. And I knew exactly where that sign was. I mean, Warren's a big city. To know where one individual side street is when you have no ability to figure that out other than if you happen to pass it over the years, you can't look it up. There's no place to look it up. So we knew exactly where to go. And we had a hacksaw. We ripped that fucker off. And then that was the end of it. In addition, you had to steal stop signs, other things. Let's see. Some of these things you can barely read, but it talks about a statue from yard up here. And we were stealing people's ornamental things. Basketball hoop. So we just rip it off somebody's backboard, you know? Included in that was a shopping cart. Two bags of dirt from Kmart. Kmart, you know, they stack them up outside. You go and steal. Well, we had everything. Now, this isn't my list. My list you wouldn't be able to read because everything is crossed off. I was the driver for the getaway car. I had this big fucking car, the Catalina, loaded up with shit. The shopping cart was actually in the back, in the trunk, and then we would just tie the trunk down, and it was left open as the cart's in it. So we then get to, and by the way, there's one thing on this list that says stink finger or stinky finger. They wanted you and whoever's list this was, they didn't get that one. They wanted you to stick your finger into a vagina and you had to go to the game master or the judge in front of this chick, Tammy Tellier's house, and put your nose or put your finger up to the nose of the game master to see if he could smell pussy. And so there you go. Stinky finger. Now, I remember the discussion. We were considering sticking our fingers up one of our assholes to get the same effect. But I don't think we did that. I pull up to this house. Like I said, Tammy Tellier, she was the cool house. Okay, she was cool mom. There were a handful of cool moms throughout the student body. And they were like safe houses. It was like our own version of the Underground Railroad. You could always seek shelter in a cool house. Tellier's house was a cool house. So we roll up in this big fucking boat, and everybody else is rolled up at the same goddamn time. It isn't long before we start to think, boy, this looks bad. This is very loud. It's dark. It's fucking middle of the night. Everybody wants to go to bed. This is a normal neighborhood. Mrs. Tellier is tapping the keg and busting out the Swisher sweets. We're going to smoke and drink our fucking asses off all night long at Tellier's house. All of a sudden, we start seeing blue and red. It's the fucking pigs. Okay? Now, I remember there's some names from my past that stand out. A guy by the name of Scott Engel. I think Engel's dad was the chief of police in the city of Warren. That factored into this. So there's 200 kids running around like fucking lunatics. Running into the house. Everybody's got shopping carts by their cars. I leave the shopping cart out. It was Andy Dunn and I. He was our president of the class. And he was actually with me. We were adding up the points. Because, okay, you got the street sign. Let me smell your finger. Huh? Okay. All right, you don't got that. That smells like asshole. Okay, you got that. Oh, cops! He takes off. It's every man for himself. Every man, every woman for himself. People are making a beeline into the fucking house. I try to close my trunk. I should have just left it open and taken off. I would have been fine. The trunk won't close because there's so much shit in it. So it takes me a little time, but finally I get it to shut. And I start casually walking to the house, but I'm like the only one left. The only idiot. And he goes, stop, cop, stop, stop, stop. I go, fuck. He goes, open up the trunk. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I open up the trunk. There's everything. He goes, all right, you're going to jail. He puts me in cuffs. I'll never forget that guy's name, Officer Knobloch. He was a cop for years. I looked him up. He's probably retired by now. I think he might have been chief after a little while. And he's escorting me back. He's probably about a 28-year-old cop. He goes, yep, you're going to jail. This is the conversation. I go, what about everybody else? And that's when he smacked the shit out of me. And it was, he didn't even hesitate. That's how it was back then. If you said, if I had said anything, well, I guess the way I'll give him benefit of the doubt. I could have just said nothing and he wouldn't have beat me. He didn't beat me. He just smacked me in the mouth. But he smacked me good. It was a pretty good crack. And, of course, my hands were behind my back, and he wanted to smack somebody. So, boom, right in the mouth. And I'll never forget being in the back of that car, and I used my tongue to push on the inside of my lip like this because my lip had been like, it got kind of like snagged on my braces. So it was like my lip meat was in the braces. And I went, and I popped it out, and it like ripped this big gash in my lip on the inside of my mouth. It was horrible. If you take a look at the mugshot, you can't really tell, but the one side of my mouth looks a little fucked up. So if you're looking at it, it would be the left side. It was a little swollen. No big deal. Not the end of the world. But I did use that to my benefit. So then they get in the cop car and they start, all right, what's going on here? Talk, kid. Talk. Spill it. And I don't say shit. I didn't say nothing. And so they end up taking me in, booking me, fingerprinting, the whole deal. That's about all I know. At this point, I'm just waiting. I don't call anybody. I don't dare call my mother. I don't dare call my father. I don't remember how they found out. I think the parents of my friends reached out to my mom and dad and said, Eric's in jail. I don't even know if dad found out until like the next day. And they asked the question, why didn't you call? Why didn't you call? Like dad specifically, why didn't you call me? And I said, I didn't want you to get pissed off. I did not want you to get pissed off. Mr. Lighthouser shows up. The arraignment is set for Monday. This is now on a Saturday. By the way, I was stone cold sober at that point. I plan on getting shit faced in the evening afterwards. So Jeffrey just sent me that list. So I had a nice conversation with him, do some catching up. I found out that one of my classmates became a chick too. I was like, what? Z-Man, it's Jeff. Someone sent me this and I thought of you, pal. I hope you're well. Would love to catch up. He's also a pal of Jeffrey DeChaussy, the guy I gave the kidney to. He says, the items on the list are gold, high point items like stealing statues, robbing Kmart of anything, and stinky finger. What the fuck? They don't make them like us anymore, Easy. Glad we did not grow up. I still remember you in the back seat of the cop car like it was yesterday. I ran home and told my old man that we have a problem. So his dad gets up and goes and the next day, well, actually tried to get me out that night. They said he's spending the night in jail. He's not going anywhere. So Mr. Lighthouser, he says, okay, we're going to get this taken care of. So I said, all right, I trust you, Mr. Lighthouser. I'll just follow your lead. On Monday, now my mom's freaking out. She's like, oh, my God, I'm raising a felon. You're a goddamn felon. And my dad is so mad at me. And I'm like, look, you know, I'm trying to play it cool. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't actually take anything. I drove the car. So it was me, Kirk Matlock, Gary Niedek, wait, Easy, Kirk, me, and Stefan Stefanowski. Okay. And I drove the car. Wasn't Carl Cuspa with us? I don't know. You don't know these names. I'm only saying this because I'm going to send it off to Jeffrey. I don't think he was. So I'm like saying to my mom and dad, look, you know, I wasn't drunk, because they thought I was drunk. I wasn't drunk. I'm telling you, I was driving around. We wanted to win the fucking game. We weren't interested in getting drunk. I think the prize was like $500. I said, we wanted to win that shit. And we would have won. We would have won that fucking game, I'm telling you. So, easy, your lawyer's here. There's Mr. Lighthouser. Hey, what's up, big fella? Okay, let's go home. Monday, it's time to be arraigned. There's a detective outside of the courtroom. The judge is in there waiting on this one. There's a lot of issues with this case. And I did, in fact, I was never read my Miranda rights. I let my lawyer know that, Mr. Lighthouser. I was smacked in the mouth. I let my lawyer know that. The chief of police's son was involved, Scott Engel. And I was the only one that was nabbed. There was a lot of weirdo shit going on. Mr. Lighthouser says, he talks to the detective and says, okay. And I don't know this conversation takes place. And by the way, my mom said, you're on your own. Have him pick you up. And I'm not helping. Okay, great. So it's just me, Mr. Lighthouser. As we're getting ready to walk in the courtroom, detective stops me. He goes, everything's being dropped. Don't even go in there. I'm like, what? And he says, yep, we're going to return everything, but this is all going away. You can thank your lawyer. And I'm like, fuck yes. So, okay, great. I was all dressed nicely, you know. Now, this instantly made me from just kind of like, I was kind of like in high school. I was definitely not a popular kid and little, very mouthy, bullied. Everybody would beat my ass. And I instantly, overnight, became like popular. So I walk into the school at like noon after all this shit, and the word has spread like fucking wildfire.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And rumors that, like, I was drunk, I puked on a cop, I was getting anal on the side of the car. Just these wild tales about what went down on the big night. And I've been arrested and already convicted. I'm in prison for life. Just these crazy, wild fucking rumors. And nobody expects to ever see me or hear from me ever again. And there I am walking into school, and people are like, EZ, holy shit, goddamn. And people are just, I mean, it was the biggest thing. It was such a buzz that this mouthy fuckface somehow it has like risen from the dead to be in the school after this enormously unbelievable event that went down. Okay, when you're a high school kid, and this is what I thrive on to this day. This is my fuel. Any type of attention or popularity, I'm like, fuck yes, oh my God, I need it more. So I got a taste of that then. So everybody knows my name. Everybody wants to hang out. You know, I don't know if I got any bare titty out of the deal, but a lot of people knew me, and I was happy with that. So it ended up working out. This was good. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. And time and again, I've gone to the story and retold it. And with like no hyperbole, it's as fantastic now as it was then. This is a story that I never really had to embellish in any way. I remember that the day that I went to court, Kenny says, you're late for your dad. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the reminder. I went to court wearing styles from the 1980s. So I had these black baggy like pants that like MC Hammer would wear, with like a white long sleeve dress shirt with almost like kind of like ruffles, like something Prince would wear, with these suspenders that I didn't need suspenders. I had suspenders on, but they weren't like doing anything. They were kind of like loose. And a pair of black shiny shoes with like silver on the tips, like a couple of the bad guys from Mexico and the Sopranos, or not the Sopranos, Breaking Bad used to wear. I look like a fucking idiot. End up going back to school. The whole time I'm thinking I'm going to get some pussy. Oh, shit. Didn't get any. None. All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I always love telling that story. And then I said to Jeffrey, he told me that one of my classmates became a chick. I said, I am talking about this on my podcast. I even wrote to him, I remember when the elevator doors opened up and your dad was there. The cop opened my cell door and said, wake up, your lawyer is here. I was like, shit, yeah, Mr. Lighthouser. All right. I love that. My sweet dad wants to talk to you for Dear Meathead. He is 90 years old. 90 years, 5 months, and 4 days. Let's bring him in right now. Oh, boy, that's a buzz. I don't know what's up with that. I don't like that.
Hello?
Hello, miss. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Sorry about not calling yesterday. Is everything going well over there?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Like I said, I was laying in bed last night, and I'm like, oh my god, I forgot to call them. I hope that I'm not surprising them.
Well, you kind of are. Your dad just crawled out of bed, but I think he's running around loose here somewhere.
Oh, hey, I can call back. Let me
see where he's at, honey.
All right, darling.
Rob. It's Eric.
He's like, who?
Yeah, here he comes.
Okay. What's going on?
Hello?
Hey, am I getting you at a bad time? You want me to call you back?
Well, I was just getting dressed up.
Yeah. Well, do your thing. I'll call you in like half an hour, okay?
All right, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to call because my audience for Dear Meathead wanted to say hello.
Well,
yeah.
Can we do it now?
If you want.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, so how are you, Dad? Everything going well in your world?
Yeah, everything is going well, but your volume... Hold on a minute.
Hey, does it sound like I'm in a well?
No, wait a minute. Just hold on, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hey, I got a name.
There you go.
I got a name from the past I want to share with you.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember the name... Bob Lighthouser?
Yes.
In the old neighborhood?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, where is he?
I'm not sure about Mr. Lighthouser, but his son is Jeffrey. I don't know if you remember Jeffrey Lighthouser.
Yeah.
Well, I was having a conversation with him yesterday, and we were talking about the time that I got arrested for that scavenger hunt. Do you recall that?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Joanne says yes.
I do. The frog in the trunk?
Yes. Now, Joanne wasn't in the picture yet. That was 1988. No, wait a minute. Yes, she was, because you were married in 1981.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. Yeah, so Joanne, what do you remember from that, my dear?
I remember you pulled up in front of the house and opened your trunk or something, and the police were there. Or they asked you to open your trunk.
Yes, I don't know which. That was at someone's house. But from Dad's standpoint, I remember he was really upset at me, and you kind of talked him out of being mad. You're like, come on. Because you were always a great voice of reason. Say, you know, like, come on, let's not be hard on them. They're just kids.
Oh, my God. I don't have no memory of it.
Oh, yeah. We were, it was high school, Dad, and we had, like, a scavenger hunt. And we were stealing a bunch of things from, like, Kmart and stuff like that. And I think we took a...
You guys were?
Oh, yeah. So there's several teams of people trying to get these things on a list. I think I stole a fire extinguisher from the old folks' home.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
We probably have to get arrested again.
Oh, yeah, that was rough. And so they took me to jail for a night. But Mr. Lighthouser... He bailed me out.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, I was just talking with Jeffrey, and I figured I'd mention him to you. See if you remembered that, but...
I have no memory of it.
Right on, right on. So, I want to go over something with you, Dad. I have this RV that you've seen before when we go up north to Grayling. And, Yeah, it's and you said that it always looks like a bus. Okay, and there's been like all sorts of problems with that thing. And
I don't.
It's terrible.
Joanne has a memory of it.
Okay. Well, all you need to know is that it's brand new, and it's a piece of garbage. And everything keeps falling off of the thing, and it doesn't operate appropriately, and I keep having to bring it back to get repaired, and then I get it back, and it's not repaired, and it's been a real nightmare. I just had to drop it off again yesterday. It's been in the shop for half of the summer, and, I mean, obviously a very expensive item, and I'm just really frustrated with it. Do you have any advice about what I can do, because I want them just to give me my money back, but they won't do that. So what are your thoughts on this, Dad?
Honey, I could not tell you anything about that. John made a call in here. What is it?
A different bus. They should give him a new one.
She thinks that you ought to get a new one.
Yeah, I brought that up, and they said, sorry, that's not going to happen. We're going to have to keep fixing it. So, like, every time I have taken this thing out for one of our adventures, I've had to bring it back because something's broken.
Wow.
Is there a lemon law?
There is something like that. It's not called a lemon law. It is, it's actually similar to that, but... There's some things that have to happen, and I don't think I qualify for it right now.
Joanne says make it happen.
I know it. So that's where I'm at right now. It's really a bummer.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Yeah, for the price of my guy,
I mean, those things have got to be repairable.
Yeah, they are, but it seems like that no matter what they do, they like can't do a good job or something like that. I have no idea. Every time I take it back, they try to fix it, and it comes back horrible.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Joanne says, I would get a lawyer.
Oh, God, that's too much for me. I can't handle that.
Do you have to have it repaired and then use it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what do you want me to do? Just leave it there?
He's got to use it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can just get rid of it.
Well, I don't know, because those are the types of things, Dad, where the second you drive it off the lot, its value drops quite a bit. There's a high degree of depreciation.
Yeah.
So I would end up not getting nearly as much as what I owe on it, and I don't want to do that. So it's a catch 22, as it's called.
Wow.
So can I put it in your driveway?
Can You put it in, yeah.
I was kidding. Somebody had suggested.
Oh. I thought I was doing some favor or something, you know.
Okay, well, I don't have a ton of questions today. It's kind of like a slow day on Dear Meathead. So do you have anything on your mind that you want to talk about, Dad?
I really just woke up not too long ago.
I know.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
How did you sleep?
Oh, I slept like a log.
Yeah? Well, do you have any... Hey, do you ever, like, sleepwalk or anything like that?
No. I sleep...
I'm out of bed a couple times.
Joanne says that I fell out of bed a couple of times.
You fell out of bed?
That's what she says.
Oh, that can hurt.
Even I don't remember that.
Yeah, that can hurt. I think that happened to Mom a couple of times. Joanne, how are you doing? Because you're no spring chicken either.
I am too. I'm springing up.
Oh, my God.
She's springing all over the place.
All right.
Are you kidding? She's my beautiful angel.
I know she is. I love you guys so much. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to leave it right there. As always, everybody loves to hear your voices. And you guys are the best, and I'll talk to you very soon.
All right. God bless you, and have a healthy morning.
Okay, Dad. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later. Love you.
See you. There you go. Yes, indeed. Dear Meathead, Dad. Another rip-roaring edition right there. So special to hear from him. Going back to Jeffrey Lighthouser, my pal. When I was a kid in his backyard, he's got this in-ground pool. And I didn't know how to swim. And I was on like a raft. And I remember falling off of the raft. And I remember being underwater. And I remember thinking I was going to die. And then Mr. Lighthouser and my dad, I think they were drinking. They jumped over and had to swim down. Mr. Lighthouser got me out of the fucking pool because I was drowning. I mean, that was it. Son of a bitch. I remember that vividly. Let's see. Tyler says she mows 5 acres by herself. My dad. Stevie says, have they been watching the DNC this week? I don't know. Your dad is always so positive. I love him, says Kenny. Magic Misfit says, I turned 40 today. I've been a Zane listener for 15 years. Oh, my God. You know, it's interesting. And by the way, Rebecca says, geez, Mr. Lighthouser saved you twice. When I started in Grand Rapids, it was 20 years and 2 months ago. 20 years and 2 months. I was 33 years old when I started here in Grand Rapids. And at the time, we were extremely nervous about the radio industry because, we had done all right, but it was a risk to leave something that was pretty good in New Jersey and then wander over to yet again something new. You know, at this point, I hadn't really stayed anywhere for much longer than a couple of years, a pop at any one job. So we were a little bit concerned about how the show would be received. We were playing music to start. So the GRD playlist, and we were talking in small doses. And then when we started to the first couple of ratings periods, they come out every so often. It showed that the show was not, no one was paying attention to it. And in the building on a radio station known as W Light at the time, 95.7. It's now known as Mix 95.7. That's going to be the home base of Girl Date with Kelly and Mate as soon as they decide to make that announcement. There was a lady on the air there named Jerry Jarvis. And it was Dave and Jerry in the morning. And they were like the hot shots in town. They were like had a lot of people listening to them. They were kind of legendary. Jerry has since passed. God rest her soul. And she was very nice to us, but you could tell she thought she was something. And they had high ratings, and we did not. And then we kept hearing through the grapevine. She was talking shit about us. And we didn't have a leg to stand on because we sucked dick and no one was listening to our show. And then one thing led to another. And the next thing you know, we get a ratings book back. And it showed that we had a bit of an uptick in the ratings. And it was cool because if you got to a certain level of listenership, you would earn a bonus, like a $5,000 bonus. I had never in my life received a bonus. And then all of a sudden, we nailed it. We got like third place. It was like a $1,000 bonus. Like, oh my God, we got $1,000. And then it kept increasing. And then we started kicking ass. And then after about 2 years, maybe, of grinding, we suddenly were like the big swinging dicks on the block. And all of the attention that Dave and Jerry got from the sales staff, from the management, from the ownership, they started putting more attention on us, spending money on us on TV commercials and advertising, and less on them. And they knew it. And there came a time when Dave and Jerry, they tried to like re-sign their contract. And the radio station was like, ah, fuck it. We got a big hitter show. We don't need you anymore. Oh my God. And that was it. We were off and running. I brought it up because as you point out, it's been how many years you've been listening to the show. And how young I was when I started to think. 33 years old. Here I am now, 50 fucking 4 years old. My God. In fact, when I was talking with my pal Jeffrey via the text, I go, yeah, when your dad picked me up from jail, his age then, we are older than that now by a lot. And he wrote back, he goes, God damn it, that hits hard. Oh, shit. I don't know what Jerry is doing, or I don't know what Dave is doing these days. Like I said, Jerry passed. All right. Update on the RV. Okay, yesterday was my day to head over to the place to drop this lemon off again. The guy who I talked to, he said, easy. Once all the bugs get worked out of this thing, you're going to love this thing. Now, at this point, I'm like, come on, man. And he was a real fun. He was kind of like a he was a cool cat, this guy that I'm talking to in the service department. My guy that I'm normally talking to, he wasn't there, so I'm dealing with this dude. And he's looking at the history of what's going on with this thing, all the problems. And I go, yeah, we were in Maine, and there was shit falling off of it, my guy. And he's like, and he kind of laughs and smirks, and he goes, you know what RV stands for, don't you? I go, no. He goes, ruined vacation. Bah! And I'm like, you fucker. I want to reach over and smack the fuck out of him. God damn it. But I appreciated that. And I'm like, all right, man. Before I continue on with this, I want to welcome in Starman314. Says, I do, and I don't miss working in radio in Grand Rapids. I don't recognize your Twitch name there. Is that Nick? Is that Nick in Houston, Texas? If you could let me know. I'm always interested to see when I don't recognize somebody as to who actually is here, especially a person who worked in radio. So I'm like, yeah, dude. Okay, so I explained this. I explained that. Now, what I did not realize is for as long as I've owned these things, how quickly things like, because on the roof, there is like, you know, in the on the edges and the, there's sealant over the sky, around the skylight to keep water out. I had no idea, but you're supposed to reapply more sealant or redo the thing like quite often, like several times a year. I'm like, what? They go, yeah, those things pop all the time. I had no idea. They go, yeah, if you don't go up there and check to see if, because when the sun beats down on those seals that they put that material on, it's like a caulk, but not. It's specific for recreational vehicles. They expand, crack quite easily. I was like, I had no idea. They go, yeah, and then people bring it back to us in 3 years and say, yeah, I just got it, and it's leaking. How can that be? I said, well, no one tells us that when we buy that shit. We do. You just don't read it. Okay. So I go over with him all the things that are wrong with it. And then I go to the number one there. And I ask for him, and he comes down, and he sees me. And I introduce myself, and I said, hello, I'm Eric. And he goes, oh, hey. And I go, so, look, I'm trying to get to the bottom. This is a guy I talked to, and I said, I don't trust you, and I don't trust your staff. And I said to him, I go, you know, I said that, and, you know, that's probably the most cool that I'll blow here. And I actually felt bad after I said it, but I think it had to be said. It's how I feel right now. He goes, look, it's okay. These guys yesterday said everything right. And I again feel comfortable with them. I really do. Because, I don't know, I just... I can't really hate on them too much because they're doing everything they can to keep this thing out of the shop. I believe that. However, I'm talking to this guy and I go, look, so what happened here? I got the same problem with the generator. I run it. I'm driving down the road. It's hot as fuck outside. I turn on the generator. The pets stay cool in the AC. And all of a sudden the generator quits on me. What the fuck? And he's like, okay, I told you I put my best guy on it. I go, yeah. And I said, okay, tell me more about that. And he goes, well, I said to him, I go, you ran the generator under load, right? And the guy says, yes. Turned on the AC. I ran that thing for 2 hours. And it did not malfunction. And then number one tells me that he said to him, did you ride around? Did you drive it around while that was happening? And the guy says, no, you want me to drive it around? And he goes, well, yeah, those are the conditions he's experiencing. You didn't drive it around? No, you want to pay me to drive around somebody's RV? And he goes, yeah, I want you to fix the thing. So that's the conversation between these two. So I go, okay, all right, thank you. Here you go. Take the RV. We now are getting into the 30-plus days that it has been since I got the thing, that you have had it working on it. Goodbye. I am leaving now. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.